Okay, we're back inside the Quicken Loans studios at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and it is now time to focus our attention on the Ohio State Buckeyes, a program that also took a major hit when their quarterback, Braxton Miller, was lost for the season with a torn labrum in his shoulder. Fortunately, though, the Buckeyes' schedule, when you look up and down it, it looks like it plays in their favor. What, they've got three home games and a bye before they face Maryland on the road on Saturday, October the 4th. And we've invited back to our program, that is Bill Rabinowitz, who's joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm very good. Well, let's get right to it. Okay, so the Buckeyes have already faced some adversity, but redshirt freshman JT Barrett, we want to get your takeaways on his performance because he seemed like he was solid for the most part.
Yeah, that's a very good description for you. He was very solid. He had one terrible play, an interception in which he spun away from pressure, and then threw a ball. I'm not sure whether he was trying to throw it away or throw it to Dontre Wilson in the corner of the end zone, but he threw it right to a Navy player for an easy interception near the goal line. That was a terrible throw, but that was the only bad throw he made. He completed 12 or 15 passes. One was a drop, and one was an intentional throwaway when he was under pressure. So it really can't argue with the way he played against Navy. But a bigger test awaits tomorrow night against Virginia Tech with Bud Foster throwing the kitchen sink at him.
Okay, as a redshirt freshman, when we talk about JT Barrett, I mean, what is your forecast in terms of how long do you think it will take for him to get completely comfortable in this no-huddle offense? I mean, just that one mental mistake that he had.
Yeah, I think he's comfortable with the offense, and I think the reason he got the job was because of his poise, his confidence, his natural leadership skills. He doesn't have the arm that Braxton Miller has, and he doesn't have the arm that even the backup, Cardale Jones, has. And in fact, throughout the spring, Cardale Jones was the designated starter. Braxton Miller was still recovering from the rehab, didn't participate in spring practice. Cardale Jones left spring practice as the number one guy. But JT Barrett overtook him in preseason camp because the offense just moved better under him, because I think of those intangibles. But his arm's not great, but it's good enough, and it's accurate. And he just does not seem to be overwhelmed by the moment.
Does he possess, though, big play ability? I mean, how does he compare to, like, a Braxton Miller? I mean, he spoiled us.
Yeah, Braxton Miller could make plays, especially with his feet, that were just phenomenal. You can't teach that stuff. And JT Barrett is not that kind of runner, and very few players, if any, are. What Ohio State wants to do, and this would have been the plan even with Braxton Miller, they want to get rid of the ball quickly. They want him to be the vogue term is a distributor. Get the ball in the hands of all these playmakers that now surround Ohio State. When they went undefeated in 2012, they had very few playmakers other than Braxton Miller. At times, he was running back plays as a quarterback because they had no faith in the running backs they had. Now they've got 2-3 deep at every position. So the idea is to get the ball quickly into the hands of those guys, let them make plays in the open field and in space, and let them do the damage.
Sports writer with the Columbus Dispatch, Bill Rabinowitz, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And we definitely want to hear from you online. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And I know you've spent a lot of time around Urban Meyer. So what was his assessment of JT Barrett's college debut?
Pretty much the same. The interception was terrible, intolerable. But other than that, he was very solid. And a lot of it early on, the offensive line struggled, and the offensive line got four new starters this year, and they did struggle early. They gave up some pressure, some sacks, that kind of thing, and so it took time for everyone to kind of catch their breath and say, okay, let's just figure out what we can do. And Navy's a very underrated team. I mean, that's a very solid team. On offense, they run that triple option, which gives teams fits with the cut blocking and all the stuff that goes with it. So Ohio State just kind of had to weather the storm a little bit against Navy, and it took them longer than I thought it would, but they did.
What is the timeline in terms of getting this offensive line to become a cohesive unit? Because, obviously, as you were talking about, Urban Meyer really did express disappointment. These guys, what, had some communication issues?
Urban Meyer wants it done yesterday.
Okay.
he said on his radio show on Thursday that these guys are all veterans now. I don't want to hear the excuse that they're inexperienced.
Uh-huh.
They're all veterans now. So that's his mindset. Realistically, it'll take time. Look, the offensive line is, you have to have five people working as one. And that's very hard to do, especially when you just haven't put in that time. But their line coach, Ed Warner, is considered one of the best in the country. He did a great job with the line 2 years ago. There's a lot of faith that the line will get it together. It's just a matter of how long it'll take.
Well, it's that familiarity factor, and new guys, you know, just taking time for these guys to get more comfortable with each other and what to anticipate. It'll be very interesting to watch that maybe perhaps the kind of improvement we'll see from game one to game two.
Yeah, no question. And that's kind of the standard line is teams make the biggest improvement from the first week to the second week. And Virginia Tech, they better, because Virginia Tech, although they're not the national power that they were a few years ago, they're still a pretty good program, and there's no question that, Bud Foster will have his defense ready to play and will throw some wrinkles at J.T. Barrett in the offensive line that they haven't seen.
Okay, Bill Rabinowitz is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are so glad you are along with us for the fastest 2 hours in radio. So let's take time now, Bill, to preview Saturday's game. Give us just kind of the skinny on Virginia Tech. I mean, you're saying it is going to be a legitimate test to find out certainly what the Buckeyes are going to be made of, especially before they, you know, ease into that Big 12 or Big 10 conference play.
Right, it's hard to keep that. All the Big 10 and 12. Big yeah. 10 is 14, the Big 12 is 10 is crazy. Virginia Tech lost, I think, 13 games the last 2 years, which just is kind of stunning considering where they were as a program. And a lot of the problems, they did not have a quarterback. And this year they do. They have Michael Brewer, who is a transfer from Texas Tech. He was very effective against William & Mary. And yeah, it's William & Mary, you really can't gauge a whole lot off of that. But they feel like he's the kind of guy who can give them a chance in a big game like this. And they've got a very young group of running backs. Shai McKenzie is probably the best of them. So, look, they're going to be the underdog. I would expect Ohio State to win, but to say this is going to be a walkover for Ohio State, then no, I'd be surprised if it is.
Could this be a season-defining game for the Buckeyes?
It'll be one of them. The one that most people think will be the defining game is the game against Michigan State November 8th. But obviously that's 2 months away, and a lot can happen between now and then. In terms of the early season games, yeah, this is the biggest one. Ohio State plays Cincinnati in a couple weeks, and Cincinnati's certainly a solid program. But Virginia Tech is considered a level above that. So, yeah, this is certainly a big test. It's the home opener. It's a primetime game. Even LeBron James is expected to be there. So mm-hmm. We're excited about this one. And it's also the stadium has been renovated. They've added about 2,500 new seats there. And now the tunnel where the players enter is now covered. It used to be kind of open. So it's kind of a new experience, and people are looking forward to it.
Okay, just a few more minutes with Bill Rabinowitz tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. So we do the scouting report on Virginia Tech, this game on Saturday. Do they have an advantage at any position?
I'm not sure that they have a clear-cut advantage in any position. You used to be able to say, well, special teams was going to be the area where Virginia Tech would dominate, because that's kind of how Beamer ball was created. A lot of it was special teams. But Ohio State's got some very good players on special teams. They have a freshman kicker, Sean Nuremberger, who kicked a 46-yard field goal on the opening drive and has kicked a 57-yarder in high school. They have a great punter in Cameron Johnston from Australia. You got some return guys. I'm not that familiar, honestly, with Virginia Tech's personnel on special teams. I'm not sure that there's any position group where Virginia Tech clearly has an advantage. Maybe cornerback. They've got guys who can bump around. Fuller's a very good player.
Sure.
So, but you know, what's hard is one game into the season, and I didn't get a chance to do the Virginia Tech William & Mary game. It's just hard for me to know that, honestly.
Well, you know, Virginia Tech, they're certainly going to be anxious to get after it. I want to, because last year you released a book on Urban Meyer. It's titled Buckeye Rebirth, Urban Meyer, an Inspired Team and a New Era at Ohio State. Can you just talk about his approach when dealing with, you know, a curveball or adversity or the unexpected?
Yeah, what he has really tried to do at Ohio State, and a lot of the book was about the 2012 season, but it was really about the foundation that he was trying to create at Ohio State. And even since that period, he's really instituted a lot of leadership stuff, a lot of leadership training, formalized a lot of the stuff that he kind of intuitively knew and wanted to instill in his players, but now it's kind of a formal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of that is designed as even a formula, events plus response equals, outcome.
Yeah.
The Braxton Miller injury is a prime example of that. Obviously, it's not something they wanted to have happen. If the timing 2 weeks before the season is terrible, but how will they respond? That's what they've been training to do.
Always a pleasure, Bill, when you're on the program. We appreciate you dropping by. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. We will be right back.